You're listening to VFN TV highlights at VFNKB.com. Enjoy.
I've been asking the Holy Spirit lately, don't take your grief from me. Like, grieve me for what grieves you.
Yeah.
Like, it is grieve not the Holy Spirit. Grieve me over souls.
You know,
grieve me in my place of prayer. Holy Spirit, grieve me. Break my heart for what breaks yours. Let me follow what you're calling me to do. Let me follow after what you want me to do. And don't let me touch the glory. And don't let me be a part of that. And you're right, it's the Holy Spirit wants to lead us as Christ was led. Christ had time for the one-on-one. Actually, the Gospels have more accounts of one-on-one interactions with Jesus and somebody than it does of Jesus and a crowd. There's only actually a few times recorded that Jesus is standing before crowds, but most of his time was with just a couple of people, just
and
a few.
Children.
Yeah, even welcoming the kids. So just to let you know that if you want to be successful as a believer, you want to be successful in ministry, it's not really about the results. We can't be result-driven only. I mean, I understand there's definitely weights and gauges and measures, but at the end of the day, what makes us successful is, did we do what God told us to do? And if we did, even if it meant going to a cross, even if it meant looking up at an axe head coming down on us, even if it led to persecution and martyrdom, so be it. Still will I praise the Lord. Still will I honor his name. Still is he worthy. And may the Lamb that was slain receive the reward of his sufferings. The the Lamb's blood was not spilt in vain.
Right.
And come what may we all just follow after the leading of the Lord. You're looking at someone that I've got nothing really to boast in. I mean, I know what it is to nearly be bedridden. I had psoriatic arthritis, the disease come into my body when I was 26. And, you know, I struggled to walk for a very long time, still sometimes do. Being through Hurricane Michael, we lost nearly every one of our possessions. In the ministry, I know what it is to dodge the spears of different ministers sometimes even, and deal with jealousy and competitiveness and covetousness, and deal with having to wonder, like, where's my dad in all of this?
Right.
And even with a dad that's been struggling with mental health now for a very long time, that was an evangelist for years in Ireland. And you go through these times of anguish of soul, and you go through times where you deal with panic and you deal with anxiety, and these are very real emotions. And the positive thinking message of just denying it and speaking life and speaking word, that's all words. What God is wanting from you is not just words from your mouth. He says, rend your heart and not your garments. He wants your heart. He doesn't want you just speaking his word back to him like a robot.
Right.
He made you a person with emotions. And I've found that as we bring to the Lord and hide nothing and be open and transparent with our depression, with our pain, with our anguish, with our suffering, with our sin, with whatever it is that's weighing us down.
Which he knows about.
He knows about.
Talking about it's not a big deal. He would know. He would know.
We just are so ashamed of it. We hide it and we bury it.
As if we could.
As if we could.
right.
And the Lord just says, bring it to me.
Yeah.
Bring me your burdens. Bring me your secrets. Bring me your carcass. Bring me your death. Bring it all to me, because Christ bore it on the cross. We can truly say shame off of us in this and say Jesus was ashamed for us.
Right.
And it doesn't make us entitled brats.
Right.
What it does is it goes, God, I love you. God, I worship you more than I've ever loved the name of Jesus or the person of Jesus before in my life. I can truly say I love him more today than I had yesterday, because he's been so there for me, and he's nearer to us than a spouse or than children or than family. And I can truly say that as an evangelist, when we speak out of our brokenness, more so than speaking out of our pretense, that we can connect better with our audience. You know, one of the greatest evangelists, I would say, is one of the greatest evangelists would be Naomi. I mean, when you look at Naomi, her husband died, her two sons die. She's in Moab because a famine hit Bethlehem and drove her to a Gentile territory where she had no family.
Anything that could go wrong.
Went wrong.
Went totally wrong, and now she's alone.
And she even she told Ruth and Orpah, she told both of Orpah and she told Ruth, Go on back to your Gentile families. They can take care of you. She said, my God, look at what my God's done to me. Yeah. She even said, you know, my God, I'm going to call myself Mara, bitterness. Yeah. I'm going to wear the name bitterness on me because look at what God has done to me. But Naomi didn't have the whole context of scripture like we have. Yeah. She didn't realize that what she was about to do was lead Ruth to Boaz and become a part of the lineage of Jesus Christ. And so she had no context to what she was going through. So whatever you're going through today, the scripture gives us context. It gives us God's point of view. And we need God's point of view. That's why we have to put on the mind of Christ so we can look at what we're going through from God's perspective. Because when we look at things from our own perspective, we can go, all is lost, all is in vain. Well, from God's perspective, He can turn your worst situation for good. So how is Naomi a good evangelist? I think she was a good evangelist because she was so honest about her brokenness. Yeah. Naaman covered his leprosy, if you remember the story. Yeah. And we generally love to cover it over. But if you really want to be effective as an evangelist, be as real as you can be with those around you. Because your struggles will relate and connect and bring people to go, wow, you need Jesus too. Right. And that's okay for a believer that's been a believer for years to come out and say, I still need Jesus.
Oh yeah.
I never graduated from Him. I don't have a certificate that says I have a doctorate on graduating from Jesus.
Right.
Some go to seminary believing and graduate doubting. Mm. And sometimes the spiritual cemetery is better than the physical seminary because we got to learn to reckon ourselves dead.
Right.
Dead to ourselves, dead to our own wisdom, dead to our own abilities, where we realize I can't do this. I am dead with, I can't do this on my own.
Right.
And say, Jesus, I need you. And that's a beautiful thing for a minister or anybody to say, Jesus, I need you more now than I've needed you before. And as an evangelist, I think that thrives you.
That's really good. Charles Simpson said one of the ministers, he was here a couple of weeks ago, is that, you know, people talk about Thomas like you talked about earlier. And he said, you know, unless I put my hands where he's been scarred and, you know, I want to feel it. Jesus had no problem showing his scars. And he says, you know, one of his ministers that relates to him said in his message, like, some people just need to see our scars. They need to see those broken places in our life. And that's all they need. That's all they need. And then once that's what they needed to see and hear is that brokenness. I mean, there's others that are looking for opportunities, you know, to justify something, but really, we're actually, when we're broken, we're at our greatest strength.
Right.
You know, Paul talks about that, right?
Yeah.
So you have somebody out there right now, but, you know, we're coming to a close here, and he's an individual, she's an individual, and they're just so passionate, and they're frustrated with their particular church that they belong to, and they do belong to the church, and they have a call, they feel like I'm evangelizing, you know, in their life, which is great, and they're doing it, but they're upset with the rest of the church, because they're doing things like helping people get free of addiction, and someone else is, you know, ministering worship, and somebody else is doing this, and they have this call of evangelism in their life. And they're thinking, like, because everybody feels like you should be doing what I'm gifted to do, because you can see it so naturally. And they're getting frustrated. How would you talk to that person right now? Because if they're, I mean, you can be the evangelist right where you are, man. Help. Give them a word of encouragement about where they are, not to be frustrated, but to be fruitful.
Well, when David was anointed as king, and he was initially an evangelist, he was expanding the territory of Israel and spreading the hope of God to the Gentiles. We see him, you know, later on, you know, detracting from that, like we said earlier in this time together. But for years, David had that call on his life, and Saul never affirmed it in him, never fanned it into flame in him, in fact, grew jealous of him.
Yes, he did.
But David had it in him to not harm Saul. And when David cut Saul's garment to show Saul, I could have taken you out, David repented for it because he didn't want to touch God's anointed.
Yeah.
And I would strongly rebuke rebellion against your leadership and your pastors.
Good.
Don't dare touch God's anointed. Right. Honor your leadership. And God can use prayer to influence them more than you.
Right.
Your influence has got nothing on the influence of prayer.
Right.
So if you're not praying about it right now and you're not bringing your frustration and your angst and your anger to the Lord, and you're spewing it amongst the congregation, creating dissent.
Which God hates.
You're in rebellion. Yeah. You're in direct rebellion against God's leadership. Mm. Even though it might be a right thing that you're doing, you're doing it the wrong way. Mm. The Christian reverts to prayer before we go to rebellion.
Right.
Now, Paul, we know he had the same issues with Peter. Mm-hmm. And Peter, baptized in the Holy Spirit, Peter, you know, director of the church, doing a phenomenal work, brought discrimination into the church and separated the Jews from the Gentiles and said basically that if a Gentile wants to walk in the fullness, that they have to keep to Jewish customs.
Right.
And Paul, he could have sat back and prayed about it, but we see there that obviously he did pray about it, but in Galatians, Paul actually goes to Peter's face and rebukes Peter to his face. It's in there publicly as inspired word to show us that there's this tension between holding accountability is not rebellion.
Right.
So we got to get that out of our minds. There's a way to hold someone accountable without being rebellious.
Right.
But it starts out in the place of prayer. Right. So I would encourage you, take and vent your criticisms and your wanting for your church to evangelize more and all of that, and be an example of it. You know, Paul said to Timothy, don't let anyone despise your youth. But then he said, be an example.
Right,
Don't go around the place, you know, downing and dissing.
Right.
Show them something different.
Right.
Be something different in your character, in your own personal evangelism. Come in every Sunday with testimonies.
Right.
Bring people into church.
Nobody's
look at so-and-so
ever
got saved.
No one, a witness to the Lord.
No one ever stop you from growing their church.
Right.
You be the example. Stop putting it on your pastor. Stop putting it on. And the evangelist and the pastor must compliment and love one another and believe in one another, because the enemy has divided the pastor and the evangelist in the church today, and we have to build that bridge because they are it's like a hand severing from the body. We need desperately to work together on this one for the glory of Jesus, no matter who gets the credit. And the evangelist is seen as the combine harvester. He's the one that's seen as, look at his ministry, he's so passionate.
Right.
But you don't realize the evangelist is like a one-trick pony.
Right.
I mean, he can do that trick real well,
right,
but all he's got to do is preach one message every week, everywhere he goes. The pastor's the one that's got to do the
every
dirty
day.
Work.
Yeah.
And he'll be with you in the funeral home.
Right.
He'll be with you in the hospital bed.
Yeah.
The evangelist got ADHD. I mean, he's going to be he's
going to
be all over the place.
Right,
so we got to honor the pastor, honor the office of a pastor. Mm-hmm. So if you have an issue with your pastor, you better take it out with the Lord, because the Lord has an issue with you. Mm-hmm. And your rebellion is creating division, and God takes division very seriously. I mean, read the story of Ananias and Sapphira. Mm-hmm. I mean, read the stories of Acts. Division was seen as a very serious thing, to the point where some even blasphemed the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
I mean, Paul had to turn some over to Satan because they were so divisive.
Right.
So I would encourage you, I know that's strong language, but it's it is biblical, and it keeps us in a good, healthy perspective of...
It's a fear of the Lord. You're talking about the fear of the Lord
of
and not man. I think even the tensions where Paul, he confronts Peter to his face, but he also goes back after 7 years of ministry and submits everything that he'd been preaching to the leadership, like, check me out in this. Make sure that none of it's in vain that I'm actually preaching.
Yeah.
That all of us kind of working together to realize it's just for him. It's for the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, we're working in one Lord, one God, one Spirit.
Yeah.
You know, one direction for the soul of mankind.
Yeah.
Broken people, reaching broken people with a whole message about a whole God.
Yeah.
You know, well, I want to thank you so much for being on the program. I want to say also to our audience right now, listen, I hope you really enjoyed this. You know, we love to hear you. Comment below, write to us at friends@vfnkb.com. I'm just so grateful to be able to have Adam here with us. I encourage you to support his ministry, to pray for him, be a part. Go to commission.us.
That's
on the screen, commission.us. That's with one M. But you can see it on your screen right there. But listen, this is so important. He's seeing some of the things that we're seeing as well, other people are seeing, which a great harvest is coming.
Yeah.
We have to get prepared for that harvest. We have to get ready for it. And one way to do that is to, you know, get in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, become his disciple, follow his ways. He says, that, you know my teachings, and my teachings, he who the Son sets free. Those who are my disciples, follow my teachings, then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So freedom comes in hiding God's word in your heart and getting in scripture and allowing God's word just to kind of set you free from wrong mindsets, to get ready, because the only thing that's going to prosper is going to be the word of God in your life. I want to encourage you to do that. But we want to end with prayer right now. I want to pray for you and just ask God to bless you. Father God, I just thank you for our audience. God, I pray a blessing over them right now.
Yes.
I just pray for supernatural healing where they're at, Father God, that one that is broken right now, that you would heal their broken heart. God, there's a pastor right now that's watching, and he just feels hopeless, and he's turning in on himself. He's just seeing all of the dirt and the mire, and he feels like he's turned back into who he was. God, I just speak freedom over
Amen.
Him in Jesus' name. I just speak hope in him.
Yeah.
God, that he's just seeing what you actually bringing us all from, Father God.
Amen.
I speak life over him, Father God. I speak future over him, Father God. I pray that he would just shake himself in the alignment with Jesus, that you would come back to God, that you would get right with God
yes.
again. Just bring it all to God again. Don't live up to it. People are projecting on you things you don't need to have projected on you.
Amen.
You just need to know what God's saying about you. You need to stand back up again. The righteous fall 7 times, but they get back up again. And God's going to bring a new anointing in your life. It's going to be a fresh anointing coming
yes.
in your life. And you're going to need to get connected. You need to get rightly related. You've been alone. You don't need to be alone anymore.
Mm.
You need to be with those that walk in the same unity, what God is doing in your ministry, in your life, with your family, the whole thing. And you do that, you're going to find a strength that you've never had before. I just bless you in that.
Yes.
And Father God, we just pray right now, Father God, over each and every one. And we just say, dear God, right now, dear God, that you would end abortion, that you would
Amen.
Send revival, that you would send a third great awakening in Jesus' name. And don't forget how easy it is. Love God, love others, and lead others to the same. And I'll see you in the VFNKB community.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the VFN-TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNKB.com. And don't forget about our VFN-KB app. No matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. Connect and sign up for the next webinar or attend our next summit at VFNKB.com. VFN-TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.